Something like that.
Sounds good. I'm getting you guys in my little photo for later.
Three, two, one.
Welcome to Learn Videography, a podcast dedicated to mastering the art and business of becoming a full-time videographer. Presented by Industry Jump. Great. Hosted by director Kyle Loftus and producer JJ Englert. Let's go.
Welcome back to Learn Videography, your podcast to learn everything you need to know about becoming a full-time videographer. As always, I'm your host, JJ Englert, and I'm here with my co-host, Kyle Loftus. And we have a super special guest today, Brendan Hsu, the co-founder of Aerial Canvas. He was originally on season one, episode 28, November 2020, throwing it way back in the day. If you guys remember that episode, he scaled a real estate production company to over $500,000 a month in revenue. He's back at it with us today. Brendan, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate having you on today.
Thank you.
Super excited to be here, JJ and Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So guys, today we're going to be talking about sales, go-to-market, how you can really scale your production company to the next level. Brendan, he's really big league, so we're also going to try to scale it down to our perspective of that 1 to 5 person production company. But before we get into the episode, I just want to shout out two of the reviews that we had this last week from Slater Visuals and Burnett B. You guys are the best. Thank you for dropping those 5-star reviews over on Apple Podcasts. So thank you for making that happen. We appreciate y'all. Otherwise, Brendan, 5-minute intro. I know it's really hard to just sum you down to 5 minutes because you're so amazing, but tell us who you are and what you do, bro.
Yeah, so I am one of the co-founders here at Aerial Canvas. What we provide is an end-to-end solution for real estate agents to get all of their marketing, to get more exposure. I think what's most important to all of us is how do we help build each other's brands? And that's exactly what we're focused on this year and the years coming. How do we build brands for these top producing players in real estate? And so we'll cover services such as photography, video, cinematic productions, drone work, 3D Matterport websites, and then we'll even dabble in listing copywriting and design and brochures and mailers. So pretty much anything a real estate agent needs in real estate, marketing specifically, we can handle. And we're starting to bring on more partners related to the social media sphere, helping with distribution. And so those are some of the exciting things that are coming along this year. And to sum it up, like our goal for a real estate agent is we want marketing to be the last thing that holds you back from winning your next listing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's very important when I say that message is you always have to put it in the perspective of your client. Why do they care about your products?
Mm-hmm.
A real estate agent is constantly competing with other agents on winning listings, on winning clients. Our goal is that marketing is the last thing that holds them back. It ties into their goals. And so I think for those who are interested in building their sales acumen and marketing acumen, stop thinking about the features you're selling. Stop thinking about the benefits you're providing. Think about what you're doing for your clients specifically that makes them win more. And then they're going to want to seek you out and do business with you.
ROI, baby. We talk about it all the time. You know, it's not about the lenses that you have. It's about how much money you make them. Because if you make them more money, they're coming back every single time. I promise you that.
Yeah.
Brendan, you listed a lot of services, right? Like you pretty much offer everything now. And one of the things that we've also been talking to our audience is how to diversify your services, right? Like if you're not just doing video, but like behind the scenes photos and then helping them with their campaigns and really getting more services to the market so you can get a bigger, you know, check out of them, right? But talk to us about how you started with your services. Was it just video and then you scaled up from there? Or how did you approach building that catalog or product?
So our business is called Aerial Canvas. And that's now reluctantly because we started as a drone company. And Arial is probably one of the easiest words to confuse because they're like, Arial the font, Arial the Disney princess, Arial the skies. And Arial the skies is the last Arial that the average customer, I think, understands because it's not that popular of a word. So we could redo it again. It would be a different name. But we started off as a drone company. My business partner, Colby, who was the original founder of Aerial Canvas, has been a drone and RC enthusiast. And so when he had lost his job back in the day in California, he was scrambling to do something to make ends meet. And so he picked up shooting drone for a real estate agent flying around the house. And then he had a gimbal at the time, which was like the drone gimbal attached to like another piece. And then he ran through the house with that. And it worked out. Like the agent was happy. And then he started getting introduced to more agents. And they asked, hey, can you do photography? Hey, can you do video? Hey, can you do 3D? Like, I think 3D Matterport was more so a service he saw as trending that he introduced. But oftentimes, the products you want to be introducing are the products that are in demand, the products that your clients are already asking you about. And if you're saying, no, I don't offer that enough times, maybe you should look into maybe offering that. So for us, it's just about being responsive to our market and listening to our clients, asking them questions. Hey, you know, how else can we help you? What else do you need help with? If you can't do it, be that networker, be that connector, because that brings value to back to you. When you're someone who's just like, hey, let me, what do you need help with? Oh, you need help with ads? I got a guy. And when you send them to that guy, if that guy's actually good and produces results, that guy's going to send business your way, as well as ask you to do more videos or do more products that will be tangent with the services you provide. And so to answer your question, how do we come up with all these services? We just listen to our clients and we watch what was trending in the market. I would say in many ways we were trendsetters because we realized that photography, video, drone, and 3D Matterport as a solution can be done all at the same time. And that's what's given us a competitive advantage. I think that's what gives a lot of the full-time filmmakers and the people that listen to Learn Videography advantage is you're willing to learn everything and you're willing to really take on all aspects of the business. And that's great. And that's going to get you really far. And that can be a product in itself, because when you're competing with some of the bigger production companies that are doing, you know, they got a gaffer, they got a lighting person, they got like a guy holding the boom mic, like they got everything in between, and they're charging $15,000, $30,000, $50,000 for a production. When you can produce 80-90% of the results for a $5,000 starting price point, and potentially still make as much money as them because you don't have as much overhead and people to pay out, that's what's going to really move the needle. And I'm not trying to discount production companies because we do offer those larger productions.
You know, I myself, you know, well, I guess, so looking at that trend, right, like we see that budgets are getting smaller. People are looking to get more and kind of the same amount of quality content, right, with smaller crew sizes, smaller amount of time. So we're seeing that trend on the rise. And again, you know, we talk about it a lot on the podcast, and using myself as an example, you know, like I was shuffling my reel out to a couple different agencies this year looking to get some more work. Yeah. So the most common questions I get is, you know, they're asking me about what gear packages I have, and then do I feel comfortable, or am I able to do a production with a one or two man crew? So I think you're on the right path. You know, I mean, I think it's really, really trending. And with that in mind, I'm curious, like, since the last time we spoke, how is the content you've positioned or pitched and provided to your clients, how has that changed, you know, with the rise of Instagram Reels and TikTok? Has your content changed and become a lot more of short form content, or like how has that changed as a result of the marketplace?
Guys, we got a new season long sponsor, and Kyle, who is it?
Riverside, baby.
Let's go. The same platform we use to record Learn Videography. It's beautiful. The leading podcast platform for video and podcast recording. So many major podcast hosts like Guy Raz from NPR, Gary Vee, and so many others use Riverside FM to record their podcast. And you can do that too in the new year. If you're getting started with your own podcast, go to riverside.fm. Check them out. You won't regret it. It's loaded with features, super reliable, and it's just the best in the business. So if you're going to start a podcast, go to riverside.fm and you won't regret it. Now let's get back to the episode. Specifically for your industry, you know?
Right.
That's
right.
A great question. I mean, reels are definitely trending. We are working with this one company called, I believe, Playhouse. Well, I'd have to double check it. It might be Playground. Playhouse. and they're like trying to be the TikTok of real estate videos, and having that be like the primary form of finding a house is watching videos and not, you know, scrolling through photos. So I think that's exciting to just be on the forefront there. Obviously, keeping in tune with the Instagram Reels and the Facebook Reels is something we've done for ourselves. And then from there, our customers are noticing, hey, can you do that for us? I think short form content, there's this one guy, I'm going to shout him out. His name is Neil Holm. He's been crushing it on the real estate side. He's a real estate mortgage lender who's been able to scale his business from $300,000 a month to over $4 million or $300,000 a year to over $4 million a year in a span of 4 years. Wow. Off of social. He's one of those influencers that provide a lot of value up front that help people understand from a value perspective, like answering key questions that people may have within the industry. And same with attracting entrepreneurs and attracting other hustlers, I would call them. Like people are like, when you watch his IG, you're like, I want this stuff to pop up on my feed because I feel like I'm actually benefiting from my IG screen time and not just, you know, rotting my brain. So
and what's his sorry to interrupt, what's his handle or like where can we find him at?
Neil Holm, NeelHome. And I've attended some of his trainings and one of his masterclasses on how to dominate IG Reels as well as just Reels in general, short form content this year.
Yeah.
And trying to take that and bring that back to our business as well. Because we offer social media edits, but I think there's a layer of complexity and know-how that you need to achieve to be able to offer it
and get value and results.
A value oriented product. Cause a 30-second cut of just the house, like without any captions is one thing. If you use the right caption, that you're taking that to the next level. You know, same with social content on real estate agents. If they're just talking about themselves, it's only going to get so far. But if they're really curating a message that the audience is interested in, and they're using a hook to grab the audience saying, you know, three biggest mistakes that homeowners make when selling a house, then it's going to pull more attention and it's going to actually be more impactful in making them an influencer. And so that's like the level of content and services we're looking to provide at Aerial Canvas this coming year, is not just do what the masses are doing, but actually keep trending and leading the industry in terms of knowing what agents want before they even want it and having that already prepared to productize and sell.
And how much in relation to social media content do you think you guys can really do without them kind of being present or being a part of the process? Like again, using myself as an example, like I've been trying to push out a lot more content on my social channels, specifically IG Reels and TikTok, where I just provide value. But for me, I found, you know, it's like if I'm not in the videos or if it's not me specifically talking and giving the value, is it really like how much is that really benefiting or building my brand? Like, I feel like I have to be the voice. I have to be in the video providing that value. So
I'm curious,
like how much you feel like with your clientele, how much of this content can you make? Can you produce without them kind of being a part of that process, being in the video, providing that value?
So it's all about building the right systems to be able to accomplish that. Like, not everyone can afford a D-Rock like Gary V and have a videographer follow you around for, you know, 7 days a week.
It almost seems like that's what everyone needs though, right? Like, that's what everyone wants these days.
Everyone thinks they need that, but one, they can't afford it. Two, they don't even know what to do with it, like all that content. And three, they'll probably be annoyed when to have someone follow them around with the video camera all day, and they're not ready for it. They're not ready for it. A lot of people are just still shy on being in front of a camera. So how I like to approach this is pretty methodically. Everything that we're looking to accomplish can be done quite easily with proper planning. So for instance, if someone wants to boost their social media presence, they got to have a plan. What's the plan? The plan is, I want to make posts every day for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're going to have busy days and you're not going to be able to make posts. So it comes down to maybe a calendar where you keep track of the post and the type of post that you're making. It comes down to either, instead of filming every day, film one day all the content that you're going to post for the next month.
Batch record.
And that comes with planning. You know, what questions are you going to be answering in the next month? What topics, what, you know, hooks are you going to be using to capture
audience? What's trending right now? You know, like what platforms you're on, all that kind of stuff.
So having a clear plan is going to allow for better execution. And that's where working with an agency or working with a pro that's done it before, if whether you're listening because you're looking to get a videographer or you are a videographer, that's the solution, right? That's what you can sell. Is, hey, you spend $2,000 with me. I already have this plan that's worked for other companies. I'm going to get you 30 reels of short form content that we're going to film in 3 hours and cut it up with B-roll. And you can use it to run ads and as well as have a splash video for your website.
Boom.
Hey, that, you've now productized a $2,000-$5,000 offering, and the more consistent you've been able to produce it, the more you can potentially sell it for, and the more reputation and the more momentum you're going to gain.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we've been talking to our audience about is, you know, we all we're creatives, we're videographers, right? But then clients come to us and say, "Hey, can you also do my media campaign?" Right? And it's my question to you is, Should your advice to that videographer be go and learn that media campaign so you can manage it yourself?
Yeah.
Go find a partner to that knows it and partner with them, or bring someone into your team as like a contractor to have them manage it. What route would you go?
Yeah. The route depends on your current success and the opportunity, right? You don't want to get distracted with half of your next month's time with a low impact opportunity. There's a concept in business called OKR, objectives and key results, and then it's followed up by initiatives. And all of that can be measured. And so you really have to understand, like, what impact is this decision going to make, whether it's external or internal? What are the key results? Like, how much business, how many customers are you trying to drive from this, which shows like a result you're going to be happy with? And what are the initiatives? What's the effort that you're going to take to get there? And obviously that ties with, you know, a more concrete plan and a timeline. And so to answer your question, should you do it yourself and learn it yourself? Is that something that you want to be doing every day because you see that that's the next big opportunity and you're down to let go of other distractions? Is that your main focus? Because if it's not, you should probably look at option number two. Option number two, should you look at someone externally? Whether it's an agency or another company or another person who's done it successfully and partner with them, probably, because you're about to shortcut tens, if not hundreds of hours of your time. And they've already done it. They've already proved it. A lot of people are stuck in a scarcity mindset, which is why they want to do everything and anything, right? They don't value, you don't value, if you're doing everything, you don't value your time. If you want to be making six figures, you got to start valuing your time at $50 an hour. So anything you're doing that is not $50 an hour is a distraction. And so same with this opportunity. Yeah, maybe it's an opportunity you can make $100 an hour from. But how much time do you need to invest to get to that level? Because you're going to start off as a student, right, of whatever you're trying to learn. And if it takes you 100 hours to learn, and then you're making $200 an hour for 20 hours on the back end and taking another 30 hours to sell it. Yes, you've made $4,000 in that 20 hours, but then add the other 100 hours and then add the 30 hours you took to sell it. And then divided by the amount of time, $4,000 divided by 150. And what is that? Someone do the math there.
Not me.
I'm usually pretty good at math.
Put me on the spot.
That's got to be less than $4 an hour.
$26 an hour, dude. Like, you're gonna, like, you're making, you're trending 50K a year, you know, right now. So, like, stop trying to do everything. If you had instead, with the same amount of time, 150 hours total. Found a partner in 10 hours, found a partner that could crush it and kill it for you. Mm-hmm. And for every hour that is potentially sold of that product or service, you're going to make, let's just say, 20% of that $200 an hour. So you're making $40 an hour. You have 140 hours to either sell, to partner on, to produce like all of that content. And that is where the opportunity lies, because let's just say I was super productive with that $140 or that 140 hours.
40 hours.
You know, I'm making $40 an hour. Yeah, with like just selling the other product, right? Yeah. If I can, and it's leverage time, right? Like I can go out in 10 hours, sell a retainer for 40 hours and have samples to sell already because it's already put in place. Why are you recreating the wheel? Mm-hmm. If you want to grow an agency, you better not be trying to recreate the wheel, because the wheel's been created 80 times over by every other agency. Mm-hmm. You're better off learning from the best, implementing, selling the best, when you have enough business and you have so much business where you're like, I know we're spending like $250,000 with this other agency. If we bring it in-house, it will take X amount of work, but over time we will create value of $50,000 a year. Mm-hmm. That's when you bring it in-house. That's when mm-hmm. you build it out. Like, cause it's expensive. People are like, everyone's just like, oh, I want it in-house. What does that mean? Because as an agency owner now, what it means to me is more work, more responsibility, more time, more risk, and more uncertainty. Like all things I don't want as an agency owner.
Fair.
Like, yes, I can hire someone that already knows how to do it and de-risk that. And that would be the ideal mindset of approaching of bringing it in-house. But you better understand when you're going to break even and what you need to do to achieve the results to bring something in-house. Because like, if you're not selling enough to pay that person to cover your time and to make profits for the business, why did you do it to begin with? Are you just wanting to do charity? Because that's not the business I'm in anymore. I've done a lot of charity in the last couple of years.
I feel that. Hey, side note, but you know, how big is your team now?
So our team is currently around 75 in the States and another 40 overseas.
Okay.
We had, I would say, a few more headcounts right before our, what we call our prep season, our slower seasons in the last couple months. But yeah, more or less there.
How much does it cost you as a company to bring on a new hire?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have two talent acquisition team members. Their responsibility is help source, help go through resumes, phone interviews, administer tests, aptitude and personality tests, go through a second round of interview and help with onboarding. Okay. All of that is a full-time job if you really think about it. And that's all things that you're responsible for. As a business owner running a 1-2 person agency, you're pretty much doing another person's job. Mm-hmm. What it cost us, we probably invested in the range of $140,000 with those two individuals last year, and they helped bring on and hire 42 individuals. In addition to that, they built out some systems for us to help streamline our process. So they did produce that enterprise value that if they walked away, we would still own and retain.
Yeah.
That's valuable. But if you want to do the actual math, right? We got.
Yeah. Like per person, what do you think? You know, like
140,000 divided by 42 people. Each person that we brought on cost us $3,333 just to bring them on and onboard them, not including what we paid them. Mm-hmm. Paying them and training them is another 1-2 months minimum. And you're looking at maybe 25% of someone's time on your team, at least, and another full-time effort on their end. So if they're getting paid $60,000 a year, $5,000 a month, It's another 5K. Let's do times 2 months. You know, they're training for 10K and they're like, it costs you another $2,500 to train them. So like all in, you're spending $15,000.
Yeah.
And you know, chances are they're going to be doing work, some work that brings value. Like they're going to get you the coffee. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But they're going to help out with certain tasks, like maybe check out some emails. They're learning along the way. Like our creatives, our photographers in field learn how to scan a 3D Matterport right away. So at least they're saving us some labor there while getting trained. But that's still not that valuable. I mean, we're still investing easily 10 grand, 20 grand in per employee, all in, from sourcing, from onboarding, from training to getting them up to speed and becoming a full value producing employee and team member.
So
I wanted to bring up this question because there's so many of us at that 1 to 2 person level. Sorry, Kai, one sec.
No, go for
that. Are looking for that next hire. And right. And that next hire for us wouldn't be 10 to 15 grand on board because we just don't have that, you know, sophistication built up yet. But the it brings us back to the point of you're able to do this because either one of your profit margins or two because of your scale. In terms, what is it for you? Like, how have you been able to eat these costs into your overall business? Is it because of the scale that you guys do or the profit margins that you have or both?
To go off your statement, you can't afford to do it because you don't have the budget for it. Like, you're spending the budget, whether it's your time or energy, because as an agency owner of 1 to 2 people or 5, the time it takes you to source someone, the time it takes you to interview them, to bring them on, to train them.
Yeah.
Versus hiring, you know, someone who is pre-qualified, someone like a contractor. That's why a lot of agency owners choose to work with contractors. It's lower risk, less exposure on the employee-employer side. But it still costs you time and effort that you can be doing to sell your services or fulfill a job request or a project. So like the 30 hours that you spent finding your next key hire is still costing you the 30 hours you could have spent doing sales and making $10,000, $20,000. Sure. So it's still going to cost you the same. Maybe it'll cost you a little less. Maybe it'll cost you a little more. If you hire the wrong person, it's definitely going to cost you more. And that's why I definitely recommend being very strict with who you hire and having a really good hiring process. To answer your question, how Aerial Canvas does it and how does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to be in surplus. Simple as that. So to hire, you have to have either surplus demand or just tons of capital for scaling, and you can anticipate that demand. But everything we do at Aerial Canvas is understanding if we spent $10,000 here, how long does it take for us to get our investment back? Because that's how you grow a business, right? If you realize that you can spend $5,000 on ads and it takes 2 months to get back your investment and then some, and then it potentially compounds because you can get a referral from one of those clients that saw your ads, then you know the ROI of that is 2 to 3 months. Everything that you do should be a math problem or math equation. And if you don't understand how to do the math, call me, I'll help you. Or let's take some, courses on, or just really try to understand how much energy, how much time goes in, how much you're investing, and how long, what that person needs to be doing to make you that money back. Because if I train out a photographer to shoot real estate videos, photos, all that jazz, what we call a creative specialist, all in, dude, I'm spending $15,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
To train them. What they could produce, if I know my margins, if I know that every time I make a sale or every time I'm working with a repeat client, my margins are 30%. So on every $1,000, I'm making $300.
Mm-hmm.
for me to make back my $15,000 that I invested in this photographer, I need him to be on 50 shoots. Do I have those shoots in place? 50 times 300 is 15,000. Do I have those shoots in place already, or do I need to pay to acquire those shoots? Do I need to pay someone to do sales? If I'm paying someone to do sales, how much is that actually costing? Because right now it's costing me close to 35-40% of new revenue, which means all in, I'm making no money, but I'm growing my market share, which is great. Mm-hmm. That's something I'm happy to break even or lose a little bit on. Mm-hmm. And over time, those new clients transition into repeat clients. And then 6 months down the line, I have that business flowing. Mm-hmm. But understanding your costs per client acquisition is going to help you understand your break even, right? If you already have the clients in place, your cost per client acquisition is close to zero. If you don't, how many ads are you going to run? How many salespeople making cold calls are you going to need to break even? And let's just say, let's go back to that example. If I'm making 30% on every 1,000, if I didn't have to find the client, if I had to find a client and I'm making 15%, that means my actual margins are 150 now. And so for me to break even on 15,000, I need that person to go on 100 shoots. And how long will it take for them to go on 100 shoots? If it takes 3 months, then 3 months to train them, 3 months for them to shoot, it takes me 6 months to break even, get my money back. And then you have to add on risk factors, right? Like if they're going to steal your customers and run and call your customers and do it themselves, then you're like, oh, shit.
There's a lot that goes into it.
So how do we follow? I'm trying to make it as simple as possible.
No. I think there's a ton of value in everything you said there, and I think maybe if we can try and kind of, I guess, scale it down or relate it back down to, you know, our listeners here, people that again maybe are in their first 1 to 2 years kind of running a business. You know, they're probably not looking at this point to hire, but maybe they're at a point where maybe they are in a need of a partner or in need of contracting out. Yeah. Like, how would you approach that? You know, if you were in a position that in that place, you know, where maybe you have one business partner right now, or you're by yourself, you're in your first 2 to 3 years, you've got a successful business going, consistent money coming in. But you know, you don't have a ton of money to play with, to go out and hire someone to employ them per se.
Yeah. So to answer your question first about a partner, if it's someone you're planning to split your business and give equity to, you better be damn sure. And what I mean by that is it's like a marriage, right? You're about to sign up for probably you got to commit more time to that business relationship than you would probably an average marriage, because I don't think an average married couple spends more than 40 hours a week at the beginning with each other. Obviously, it evolves over time where now my business partner and I maybe interact like 4 to 6 hours a week. But to bring on a business partner, you got to be sure. Like, you got to know exactly who you're looking for, what skills they're compensating, and what type of results they need to bring for them to earn half of your business or a quarter of your business. Mm-hmm. To be able to, if you want to push your growth, the speed of your growth, you just got to put in a lot of extra hours and start learning to value your time. Simple as that. It's like two simple concepts. The Pareto's principle, 80% of the results comes from 20% of your efforts. Most of the money that you're making is coming from 20% of what you're doing, whether it's shooting and just getting the clients. Everything else is you spinning your wheels, whether it's you doing Instagram or doing X, Y, and Z, until you've proven that that is what makes you money. You're just experimenting and you're a hobbyist at best. And everything else that you're doing outside of your core business value adding activities, sales and shooting and editing. Those, you look at those things, and those are the things that you should consider scaling. You know, if you can identify what actually brings money into your business, that's when you can scale. And let's just say I want to be at six figures this year. I'm willing to put in the hours. That's a must. If you're not willing to put in the hours, 40, 60, 70 hours a week, chances are you're going to stay mediocre unless you're already like just highly skilled and you're already there. But if you're still learning videography, mic drop, the Learn Videography podcast, you have to put in the work and put in the time. And from there, you'll identify what things you're doing that is actually making you money. And those are the things you can also start to delegate or hire a contractor for. If you can identify you're going after a $50 an hour all in this year, like I want to make $100K this year, I want to make $50 on average an hour for my time. There's video editors overseas, I can promise you can pay $5 to $10 to $15 an hour that are as skilled, if not more skilled than you. That's how you get into operational leverage. That's how you leverage your time or your network, your resources, your connections for more opportunity. As a solo videographer, you might want to shoot, edit, close a client, do everything on your own. Then that's okay. You know, learn everything. More power to you. Jack of all trades. You're going to get pretty far still. But for you to really become that next level, an agency owner, a videographer that has 3, 4, 5 DPs working underneath you, you have to learn to give it up. Give up control, give up some of the profits, because that's how you get to that next level. For me to get back 30 hours of my time a week, if I'm a videographer editing 30 hours, is for me to identify that I am worth $50 an hour. That's what I'm going after. That's the lifestyle I'm looking to achieve. I'm looking to make 6 figures. I'm going to start outsourcing my video edits to someone else, $15 an hour. And then now you're making $35 an hour from managing this person. So maybe this person you're investing 10 hours a week into, you're making $350 a week from this person if that person is managing himself. If you need to manage them, chalk up some of your time in there, and you're still making like $250 a week for that person leveraged. The only way to get there, though, is when you have a surplus of work. And so if you don't understand sales and marketing and you're not attracting the business, then it's very hard to leverage into those opportunities.
Yeah. I think that is kind of on the nail on the head for us. For most videographers, is we're not good at sales. We're not good at thinking about that. We're good with a camera in our hands, right? But at the same time, we also understand that if a camera's in our hands, then we can only do so much. We can only make so much. And we're limited to making money when we have a camera in our hands. And that's not, I think, the lifestyle we want to live forever, right? Like, we want to build an entity. We want to build assets. We want to build a team that can make us money while we sleep, right? And so I think some of the really good things that I'm getting from this podcast is just, you know, we all need to talk to ourselves about, are we thinking about how much we value our time and our hourly, right? How much we want to make an hourly, right? Are we thinking about abundance? And do we have the ability to say, hey, I know myself can make $75 an hour. I just don't have enough free time. So I'm going to outsource 20 hours to video editors at $15 an hour. And then I'm going to take what I can get at $75 an hour to bring in more people, to bring in more sales at that point, right? But then also understanding, what is that return on investment? When does that return on investment come? Well, based on my last 6 months of history, I can get this return on investment in 4 months because I know the math, right? Like, you need to know the numbers of your own business in order to make these bigger decisions. Otherwise, you're going to be in a hamster wheel just holding that camera in your hands every single day because you can't get out of your own way because you don't know where you're most valuable and where you're not, kind of thing, right? What's up, guys? We're back at it with ShareGrid, our sponsor for the show, who we're super excited to have on board because they are the largest camera sharing community on planet Earth where you can rent or buy cinema gear. So if you've ever been wanting to test out a camera before you buy it or rent that next cinema camera for your production so you can super impress your client and shoot 8K footage, you've got to go to ShareGrid.com. It's the best and most professional way to rent gear. Or if you're looking to make a little side hustle and make some extra money, you can also rent your gear on ShareGrid.com or sell your gear on ShareGrid.com. It's safe and secure. There's insurance backed by all of the transactions. And it's the camera sharing community that you need to be a part of. So go to ShareGrid.com and get started today for free. You won't regret it. Now let's get back into the episode.
Yeah. And we're lucky in real estate to have a little bit more predictable of like the project flow or like the number of projects flowing our way, you're going to really have to dial in, if you're doing other projects, the cadence of how you get projects and how often you get business. Because if you work with one agency or two agencies as their go-to videographer, maybe you're getting a project every couple months. That's, you can't live off that.
And how long did it take you to find that client, right?
Exactly. And so like understanding what you have to build to get there, because as a business owner, if you're looking to start growing and building your team, you have to have some level of certainty for yourself to take those risks, because you're already dealing with enough uncertainty. And the people that are going to join your team, whether it's part-time or full-time, they're going to want certainty, because otherwise they'll just do it themselves or stay freelance. They're going to want to know that they're going to make, you know, X amount per month or get this many hours a week at this hourly rate. And so that's something you have to solve for yourself first before growing your business. And that's where, you know, my advice is focus on the highest level skills that you can provide yourself and your business, whether it's shooting with the hand in your camera, which is fine. You know, you can max out 40 hours a day at $75 an hour with a camera in your hand, you're doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And you can start maybe off setting some of your network with some of the other additional responsibilities you have and start making that surplus from other people's time and other people's work. And your network, obviously, you're adding value from your network and your connections and to the projects and opportunities. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, you have to be in a surplus, like whether it's of your time or your focus, like you have to really understand how you can get to a position to start leveraging your time or money, your network and connections for opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really advise people to start sharing these opportunities. You know, like if you want a business partner, what's a business partner, right? Someone you might go 50-50 with. You better be giving as much as you're taking, because if it's a relationship where you're giving less than you take, feelings start going the other way. Mm-hmm. Not the way you want, is what I'm trying to say. So that's just with life in general. Like you have to be in a position where you're giving more than you take to achieve that surplus. Mm-hmm. It's possible to do it, but it's going to take you a lot longer when you're a taker, not a giver.
Yeah.
When you choose to be like, hey, what projects do you have for me? Instead of asking what projects do you have for me, ask, hey, which clients do you have that don't have video yet that I could go in there and give them an hour of my time for free to help them understand the value of video? Mm-hmm. Ask the right questions and the business will come to you. And instead of me asking an agency, hey, you know, you need me this month for any videos? I want to ask, hey, I think there's a huge opportunity right now for us to talk to your clients about short form content. I've partnered with Kyle and JJ on creating short form content, and they have their system dialed in. And this is an opportunity that you won't want to pass up for your clients, because we can actually make your clients a lot of money this year from additional exposure, mm-hmm. hopping on the reels and the short form content game. And let's have this conversation. And what I want to do is, because these are your connections that you've worked really hard to establish, I want to go 50-50 with you on all the profits. Now you're talking to them like a business partner. Now you're talking to them like there's opportunity, that there's mm-hmm. a gold mine right here. Instead of saying, what can I have? What do you have for me? What can we create together? When you change your conversation and you change your positioning and you change the way you're selling the opportunity,
yeah,
that's when you get more business.
Yeah, it's, you don't want to go to a client and say, hey, you got any videos for me? It's hey, I have a couple free hours and I can deliver some results for you. Do you want to, these results or not, kind of thing, right? Like You need to be able to give them value on demand and know that when they work with you, they get value and they get that return. Because it's not about pretty videos. It's about growing businesses and making more money across the board, right? Hands down.
Yeah, money is, people sometimes avoid the topic of money. Money is just a store of value. It's called currency because it's meant to trade hands. It's meant to flow. And the money you take is how much value you're creating for the world. The money you give is equally the amount of value you're giving to the world. So you want it to flow. You want to bring in the best guys on your projects. Like if you have an opportunity with a multi-million dollar company to potentially do a video for $5,000. Awesome. That's great. Like, I'm excited for you. But if you brought JJ, Kyle, and me on the same conversation, knowing that this is a way bigger than $5,000 opportunity, and you want to consult us and you say, hey, I don't really have money to pay you, but like, if you help me close the deal for more than $5,000, I'm down to give you 10% of, everything mm-hmm. on top. That's when you bring in someone that you can't even get for less than six figures a year or even mm-hmm. close to closing for you and making money that you wouldn't have made otherwise, because you brought in the right closer, you brought in the right videographers like Kyle with a portfolio that he knows he can consistently sell 10-20K videos. You might not have that. So partner with Kyle and partner with Brendan and partner with JJ, and you'll make more money.
Let's go.
You'll make more money.
That's work.
So think bigger.
I love that. Yeah.
Like every opportunity is as big as you want it to be. That one person.
There it is right there.
Right. That is saying, hey, I don't really have a budget. I only have $1,000. You can choose two options, right? You can choose too little money, not interested, go find someone else. Or you can be in the abundant mindset and say, damn, this person is someone I can really help. If I just really understand why they have a tight budget, maybe I can find an opportunity to make more money with them down the line. Or maybe there's someone who is extremely well connected and knows other business owners. And if I did them this favor, as long as I ask the right questions, like, hey, I normally charge $5,000 for my videos, but for you, for your business and your cause, I'm willing to do it for $1,000. Could you promise and do me the favor of introducing me to five business owners this month so mm-hmm. I can potentially make ends meet on the other end? Mm-hmm. Now you're asking the right questions.
Right.
Now you're turning,
creating opportunities.
You're creating opportunities. That's what you always need to be doing if you want to be a successful entrepreneur.
Every single time.
Ask the right questions, see the opportunities. Because if you don't, who else will for you?
Yeah. Don't be lazy and just take the $1,000 because you need $1,000, because you're going to spend that $1,000 real quick and the value is going to be gone after that, right? So take that $1,000 and see how you can create additional opportunities, additional value that will drive long-term success and value over time that makes that $1,000 worth it in front.
When we have listeners that are oftentimes struggling with the idea of when is the right time to contract out? When is the right time to hire an employee? When is the right time to make this big investment in my business to hire a marketing agency to sell me more, right? What advice do you have for our listeners to better navigate that? Because I think a lot of our listeners here are struggling with that and they're always waiting for that moment, but there's not necessarily ever going to be a moment that comes where you have that epiphany. Now I need to hire someone. Now I need to contract out, right? But if you just lend some advice of how to better navigate that scenario, how to, I guess, better approach it, that'd be great.
Yeah, like you said in your question, there's no perfect time. Like, it's all dependent on you. If you're someone and you value a 40-hour work week and you want that balance, which is fine, you're going to grow. If you do good work, 40 hours a month or a week, sorry, You're going to grow regardless if you do great work 40 hours a week. If you value your time and your time is now being asked for in unsustainable ways, where like, oh, well, if I take on this project, it's going to require 60 hours. That's the perfect time to hire or bring on a contractor, right? If you value your time in other ways where you're like, I just want to trade my time for money and stack some paper, and you value paper and you want money, the time is as much as you can potentially work. You know, like, don't hire anyone until you're working yourself to the bone and you're making $80 an hour for, you know, shooting every day for the next year. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're just looking to stack that bread and have like a nice padded bank account and make some investments on, who knows, crypto or stocks. Maybe that's your appetite. There's no right or wrong way to do things. Just because I'm an agency owner that has grown, you know, an agency of, you know, close to 100 personnel, does not mean that you should go after the same goals, because you can be more happy and more satisfied with a balanced 40-hour week. You have a consistent flow of business and you have one or two contractors that you occasionally work with when you have too much work. And as long as you're not trying to go after the yachts and the helicopter life, that all makes sense. Yeah. So really, you have to understand your why first and foremost before you dive into some of these big decisions, because once you start hiring, you're responsible for someone's livelihood in many ways. Mm-hmm. Once you start bring on more work than you can handle, you're responsible to your clients to deliver. And mm-hmm. if you don't follow through with that commitment, it's like you signing up for a personal trainer or a gym or something and not showing up. It's the same difference. So make sure whatever you are trying to build aligns with your why and you're excited to show up every day. Because going in the opposite direction and you're like, why am I doing this? I'm not making any money. You know, this is stressing me out. Maybe you need a coach, or maybe you shouldn't be doing it at all. Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's times when you can still overcome certain obstacles and challenges with just shifting your thinking. But there's times where, like, it's just you're not cut out for it. And I'm going to say that to the audience, like, maybe you don't deserve it or you're not cut out for it, because it's not for everyone.
I love that.
You know, to grow an agency, build a business, to take on more risk and more liability, yeah, like, the grass is potentially greener after you put in all the work and you've grinded and you've adopted the right mentality. But it's definitely not easier. It's definitely not like hiring someone and having them do all your edits. Yes, you're getting your time back and your life could be easier because you have more time.
Still more problems.
But it's not necessarily easier to have to manage another person and personality.
Yeah, it's I resonate with this so much right now. I'm reading a book called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I don't know if you've heard of it, but yeah, man, it's absolutely incredible. Highly recommend it to anyone listening. Super entertaining too. But like, he talks about how, like, essentially the big thing is like you got to choose your struggle, right? Like, you're always gonna have problems. So, you know, there's like a big example he talks about is, you know, someone who owns a $100 million company as compared to someone who owns a $10 million company. They're likely pretty much making the same amount of money, but the person running a $100 million company has a lot more problems they have to deal with. So I think kind of the big thing we're all talking about here, you know, is really being self-aware and understanding who you are and what your actual goals and what you want for your business as well as your life are, like, extremely important to being successful and happy, you know. I think in the long run, really, because as you mentioned, you have to really, really want it, because the amount of time and effort doesn't necessarily go away. It just kind of changes how you're putting it in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, like, all of this is like, it keeps bringing me back to the point of, like, you can think about this and strategize this so much in terms of, like, a business plan, in the sense of, this is the company that I want for myself. This is the revenue that I want to earn in this much, in, like, 3 years, right? So how many clients per year that are paying me this much per budget do I need to obtain that, right?
Reverse engineer.
And then looking at margins and my profit margins, how many people can I bring? Like, this is a business, right? Like, yes, we are making videos and stuff like that. But so many people forget that it's a business. But if you think about it like a business, have numbers ready like Brendan does, like real business owners that are ready to build a bigger business, you can really go about this the right way of saying, this is my time. These are my goals. This is where I'm going. These are the type of clientele, my customer personas that are going to get me there. These are the people that I need to be talking with or negotiating deals with, the types of deals that I need to negotiate to get there. All of this kind of stuff can be strategized ahead of time rather than just chasing that next $1,000 job, trying to figure out where you're going. You got to take a step back and say, bro, what do you want? You know, like, where are you trying to go? Like, what is the point of all this? Let's bring it together and make sure that you're creatively satisfied. You're going to get to the end route that you want to get to. And then let's figure out the math and everything in between there to get there. Simply put, right?
Let's go. Let's go.
We don't need to make it any more complicated than it needs to be. This is a business. This is the film business. You got to run it like a business.
Yeah. And you have to understand what you want. What's your why? Is your why to be a documentary person that travels the world? You should turn down every job that's not a documentary job that, you know, you don't need to, unless you need to pay the bills. Like, everything that you do should be focused on your why, your purpose, your mission. Like, where do you want to be in 5 years? Right? Do you want to be like, instead of being a videographer, do you want to be an agency owner that's, you know, like manages projects and talks to business owners like exclusively? You can start building that, right? Find the best videographers. Ask them, hey, if I gain access to your portfolio and I sell your work and I put you on the priority list of people that will get to fulfill that project, would that be okay? And now you're thinking like an agency owner, right? Like, are you trying to build it from ground zero, or are you trying to put the right pieces together? Because the right pieces are already out there. It's about asking the right questions and finding the right pieces to meld together and understanding what your value is. If your value is you love consulting agents or other business owners on marketing products and finding them the best solutions, you can do that already without being a videographer. If that's what you want, you just go out, find the best videographers, make sure that they know that you're pretty much representing them as a manager or an agent through your agency, that they're not going to try to, like, you know, undercut you or try to do some sleight of hand stuff to take your client. Make sure that that's all said and done, and then go sell. If you want to go sell, go sell. If you want to go shoot, make that clear and have that conversation with other agency owners that want to sell for you and be like, hey, I'm going to bring you this level of work consistently. I can handle editing. I can handle coloring. I have a team that I've already worked with that I built up. I'm not good at sales, and I'm looking for either a business partner or I'm looking for an agency that wants to represent us, because we're going to crush it every time.
Yeah.
And any business owner would be like, oh, you already have it built and I just have to sell it. If they're selling type, they're just going to go sell for you. Mm-hmm. But you got to make sure you give them a fair cut. So before going into a conversation, like, you better be willing to give them a deal they can't refuse, right? And so I know it's tough, because oftentimes these larger productions are like 20% margins all in, 15% margins all in, like on a $10,000 production. I'm sure you guys have done a few. You're going to walk away sometimes with less than $1,000, you know, because some unexpected, you know, thing came up and you had to pay a late fee on something or something. Mm-hmm. Like late fee on returning equipment because, you know, you had to use it.
Something breaks or whatever. Yeah.
And so you have to change the narrative, change the conversation you might be having, right, to make sense for the person you're talking to. So every single videography or media agency is like, oh, 10% referrals. That's easy. How do you change the statement and the positioning where it becomes a lot more, oh, let's do it? And that's same thing. If I know I'm going to make 20% at most, I'm going to go up to an agency owner and be like, hey, I want this to be yours as much as it is mine. I want you to have access to all the samples we create, you know, that you can put on your own website, because that's building up his, you know, brand. And also I want to go 50-50 with you on the profits. If the profits are 20%, it's the same difference as giving him that 10%. But I've reframed him to treat him like a business partner instead of someone who thinks, oh, I get 10%. Like, I'm not really invested. So when you can change your the lens, like, of how you view the world and how you want to view the world to view you, is how you're able to come up with bigger and better opportunities for, and you're able to help people see the bigger opportunity, right?
Yeah. Hey, any final words before, you know, we get out of here for this episode, Brendan? Like, you've done some incredible things. You're a whiz when it comes to sales. You've grown to a 100-person agency. You've grown to over, what, $7 million in revenue annually. Anything you want to say to our audience? Any last tips or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to work hard, and if you're willing to put in that work, just have patience. Have patience with the process. Keep listening to great podcasts like this, Learn Videography. You're looking to achieve. Yeah, everything you're looking to achieve is, the only thing that's separating you is time and knowledge. And both of those things are there. Like, you have time, and the knowledge is easily acquired if you ask the right questions and if you have the right mentors, you'll be very successful. So have no doubt, if you're willing to work hard, if you're willing to be patient, and if you're willing to ask the right questions and seek out the right information and the truth, I think it's the most important, the truth, you'll be successful. And if you want to, like, you know, reach out to me and you have any questions, www.brendanshu.com, I can give, or you can just, you know, hit up Aero Canvas and talk to my team. And there's ways we can teach you and help you align further with our goals. Something that's actually really exciting is we develop software for our industry called Tonimo. I was able to convince my friend John to quit his job to develop software for Aerial Canvas. Mm-hmm. And he owns it in its entirety, because that's the narrative that made sense for him to own it and to license mm-hmm. it to us. And for a long time, that was our secret weapon. That was our, you know, like, this is what we have that other agencies don't. It's still our secret weapon, but now we've shared it and it's become even more powerful. There's over 15 or there's 20 agency owners that are licensing the software, that are sharing resources, sharing knowledge, sharing strategies, expertise. And that is the formula for success. When you share the best things that you have to offer, you might not get paid for it right away, but when the opportunity comes around, you're that person that someone's going to look at first, because they'll be like, that person knows. That person mm-hmm. that person has the best way to do that.
That's the expert. We got to go with him.
Yeah.
Her. Yeah.
So give 100%. It all away to get it all back.
I love that.
I mean, hey.
That's beautiful, man.
You got to be bold. You know, you got to know how to go out there and phrase the conversation to figure out what you want. Like, what first, you got to know what you want, but then phrase the conversation to get what you want, right? Like, just don't take that $1,000. Take that $1,000 and then get 10x more out of referrals and additional work, portfolio pieces, et cetera, right? Like, always have that mindset of what else can you get and how can you deliver value to your client that makes you irreplaceable, right? Yeah. Because there's a million videographers out there, but there's only one person that could deliver value time and time again. And that's the person you worked with last 10 times. And that's me. And that's irreplaceable, right? That's how you got to position yourself to your clients going forward, folks. Brendan, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Of course, killer, you can find him in Aerial Canvas. You can find him on socials. We really appreciate you taking the time out to listen, to come preach to our audience on Learn Videography. Of course, you can find Kyle at Cal Visuals, myself at JJ Engler. You can follow the show at Learn Videography on Instagram and TikTok. If you haven't left us a review yet on Apple Podcasts, please do. Shout out to those that have already did it. Over 61 5-star reviews. Appreciate y'all. Otherwise, we'll see you next week on Learn Videography. Thanks for tuning in, folks.
See you then.
See ya.